I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
I think the odds are very significant that next summer at the Democrat National Convention, the Democrat Party will jettison Joe Biden and they will parachute in instead Michelle Obama to be their candidate.
Trump's out of his ever-loving mind. He's crazy and deranged, and he is willing to do anything.
At least 20 people were killed, nearly 300 others hospitalized Monday as an explosion ripped through a fuel depot for refugees in the South Caucasus territory of Nagorno-Karabakh.
The lowest unemployment in European Union is Poland. The highest GDP after COVID in European Union is Poland. One of the lowest debts in European Union is Poland. So don't give us this rubbish about the need of educated immigration, as we heard yesterday. We don't need your doctors. We don't need your engineers. Take them all and pay for them. We don't need them. You know why? Because there is a zero terrorist attacks in Poland. Why? Because there is no illegal migration in Poland. So don't give me this look. Don't give me these arguments about the populism, because this is a fact. This is your data from Eurostat. So we don't need your engineers. We don't need your doctors. Take them. Do not teach us. Do not teach us about democracy, because we know what the democracy is. So learn from Poland. Be like Poland.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. Today is September 26, 2023, Anno Domini. Polish experts from the government of Poland have now come out and confirmed that the missile that struck a grain facility in southern Poland last November was launched by Ukraine. Reuters has the report. The explosion of the missile in NATO member Poland fueled fears that the war in Ukraine could spiral into a wider conflict by triggering the alliance's mutual defense clause. But at the time, Warsaw and NATO said that they believed it was a stray. Sources with knowledge of the investigation said that Poland had established that the missile was, in fact, an S-300 air defense missile fired from Ukrainian territory. This rocket has a range of 75 to 90 kilometers. At that time, Russian positions were in a place from which no Russian missile of this type could reach where it struck. Ukraine, their perspective, has denied that it was their missile. And in fact, go back to last November. Zelensky was demanding that the United States and NATO invoke Article 5 over this. Now, we knew right away that these Polish civilians, these farmers, were killed by a missile that likely came from Ukraine. Zelensky lied about it. The entire government of Ukraine lied about it. I have a question. Is Ukraine a NATO member? Because if a non-NATO member like Ukraine attacks a NATO member like Poland, then what do you do? Or is it like today, which is the 1 year anniversary of the day that the United States blew up Nord Stream 2? What happens when a NATO member, the United States, attacks another NATO member, Germany? Because remember, Nord Stream 2 was a German project. You see, this is the situation we find ourselves in. And you got these guys up there now They're locked down on spending. There's some good senators, J.D. Vance, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, that are holding the line, that are calling out what exactly it is that the Ukrainian military is doing with our money. But the real question is, why would Zelensky, who has now committed essentially war crimes against Poland and the Polish people, not apologize? Has he apologized yet for praising a Waffen SS member up in Canada? Which, oh, by the way, Poland is now looking at extraditing. They've announced they've opened an investigation into extraditing. The guy's 98 years old. I don't know if he's going to be flying anytime soon, but they're actually opening up an investigation on this SS officer in Poland. Because let me tell you something. Poland doesn't take that stuff lightly. And perhaps none of us should. But Zelensky, Biden, all of these people that have been taking our money, they're going to be held accountable for the things they've done, for the people they've killed, for the bodies they've left in their wake. And the American people are sick of it. And you know who else is sick of it? The people of Poland. They've got an election coming up in a couple of weeks, and I expect that they are going to make everyone hear their voices very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I grew up in the hood. I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. Can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we're back live. I want to tell you guys real quick about today's episode sponsor. Folks, and I got to tell you, this is Tanya Tay. It might be her new favorite sponsor of ours, because when it comes to gardening, most people know, they say they don't have the time, they don't know where to get started, and that is why myself and Tanya Tay love FastGrowingTrees.com. Look, the experts right there will curate thousands of plants catered to your specific needs, your climate, your location, you name it. Fast Growing Trees has you covered. You don't have to drive around to nurseries or massive gardening centers. Fast Growing Trees makes it so easy. Just order online and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. You don't have to be an expert gardener to have a backyard that you and your family can be proud of. The Human Events audience, check this out, will receive 15% off your entire order when you go to fastgrowingtrees.com/poso, but you have to act fast because this offer ends October 15th. That's 15% off fastgrowingtrees.com/poso. fastgrowingtrees.com/poso. One thing, I got to throw this out. This isn't even in the ad script. Like I say, you can put your zip code in. You can put in where you are. They'll tell you what plants actually work for your climate. It's really cool. They give you all sorts of great tips. Like I got to say, Tanya Tay absolutely loved this one. fastgrowingtrees.com/poso. Very excited to bring on our next guest here, Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch, because there's been an ethnic cleansing going on right now of Christians out of a region where Armenian Christians were living for a very long time. 120,000 of them are now being forced out of their homes. This region is called Artsakh. The Azerbaijani military opened up operations, military operations against them last week, pushed them out. You can see the videos there. And because there's no financial interests for the United States, the government, no special interest groups really seem to care about this, you have over 100,000 Armenians being forced from their homes across the Caucasus Mountains. And yet we're told billions of dollars must go to Ukraine. And when we have Armenian Christians, not even a single eye gets batted. Robert Spencer, can you break down what is going on the ground right now in this situation, and why does it seem the U.S. government doesn't really seem to care?
Oh, it's even worse than that. The U.S. government does care, Jack, but it cares about the wrong side. The Biden regime has actually given military aid to Azerbaijan, which is completely the aggressor in this conflict, is pursuing what many are characterizing as a new Armenian genocide. This is not hyperbole. These people have been starved out by having the only road leading from Artsakh into Armenia proper, having blocked it for the last 9 months. And there has been no food, there has been no medicine, there has been practically nothing brought in to the people that have been starved out. Then on September 19th, the Azerbaijan military began operations, and this is why the people are now fleeing and the road's been opened up so they can get out. That's what the idea was all along. This is an attempt to eradicate the Armenian exclave of Artsakh and eradicate a Christian presence that, as you noted, has been there since time immemorial. You have churches going back to the 4th century, the 3rd century in this area. This is an area that Armenians have populated as long as there have been human beings there. But now they are being forced out, and they're being forced out with the active help of the Biden regime.
Well, that's right. And this is the Armenia, of course, being the oldest Christian nation. And when we look at the situation here, I find it very interesting because there's a geopolitical nexus that Azerbaijan has exploited in this situation, because after the European Union put so many sanctions on Russia, really tried to cut off trade, who then stepped in to fill the gap for Russian oil, Russian natural gas? Azerbaijan has been right at the top of the list because of their liquid natural gas exports to the EU. So there's a massive energy interest and energy concern from Azerbaijan to the EU when it comes to this. Now, I don't know, if we have a map up for this, because I'd love to be able to show, be able to do a map break here so people could understand that both of these areas, and right where everyone's looking right now, this road itself, this is right on the border with one of America's greatest geopolitical adversaries, Iran. Robert, what role is Iran playing here?
Ironically, Jack, Iran is actually on the side of Armenia, because Azerbaijan has a significant minority in Iran. That is, the Azerbaijanis are, I think, the largest non-Iranian, non-Persian ethnic group within Iran. And so the Iranian regime doesn't want those people to get ideas of uniting with the independent country of Azerbaijan. So they're one of the only countries helping Armenia. It's very topsy-turvy. In the sane world, the Armenians would be getting help from Russia instead of Russia aiding their adversaries, and Iran would be on the other side. But, you know, the Armenians, they consider this to be a matter of you take help where you can get it, and that's perfectly understandable since they're essentially isolated in the entire world.
Right, and this certainly puts Iran and Turkey at loggerheads there, because, as we know, the Turks are no fans of the Armenians and continue to be against them. But at the same time, Russia has really pulled out of this region. We understand clearly they're really focused on Ukraine right now. They're very focused on Syria. So this is another reason that Azerbaijan has used all of that time to really strike this. But then we saw the Biden administration sent over Samantha Power to Armenia just this week, because this is a great example that I always say this, from the Samantha Power, Victoria Nuland School of Foreign Policy, is you destabilize a region and then you sweep in with your vulture beaks. Robert, what are they up to there? What is she doing?
Well, she's just actually performing a cosmetic action to give the impression that the United States is even-handed in this. But the Armenians actually greeted her quite unkindly. They said, say something about the genocide that's going on. Say something honest about what's really happening, which, of course, Samantha Power did not do and would not do. The United States has essentially stabbed the Armenians in the back and left them to die. This is not going to be the end of the territorial demands from Azerbaijan. Once Artsakh is destroyed, they have already, Turkey and Azerbaijan, made new demands for territory so that they can have a corridor between Turkey and Azerbaijan that would reduce the size of what's left of Armenia. The idea is ultimately to have a Turkic Muslim mega state stretching from Turkey across Central Asia that encompasses Azerbaijan and goes all the way into Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. And Armenia is the only non-Muslim state in that whole band, that whole region. And so the Turks, The Azerbaijanis and their friends and allies have determined to destroy it, and the world is turning a blind eye.
Right, and so we've got the map up there. I can try to walk people through. I don't see any borders on this particular map, but what you're looking at are this is the Caucasus. So you've got it stretches from the Caspian to the Black Sea. So this is that area that really splits. So to the north of this, you would see Russia. To the south, you would see Iran. And then all of your Caucasus nations are there inside this specific area, as well as with these. And guys, if we could zoom out a little bit, I think we can really give a better regional representation of where it is on the world that we're talking about. So there you have the Black Sea. There you also have the Caspian. You can see Crimea there. So very close to where the fighting is, essentially, in that geopolitical part of the world. But at the same time, Robert, to your point, once again, it is the Christians of Armenia who catch the short stick. And then there's a massive story in Semaphore today about huge Iranian penetration of the Biden administration going all the way back to the Obama administration. Should we be concerned about that when we're looking at the geopolitics of this region?
Oh, of course, yeah. Because, you know, I was speaking before about Armenia getting some help from Iran. That's decidedly limited. The Iranians would be perfectly happy to see Armenia destroyed in the longer term. They just are in a jockeying, in a competition with Azerbaijan as to who gets to do it ultimately. And so this is the empowering of the Iranian regime is only going to bring further instability to the whole region. This is a step-by-step effort to eradicate anything but a Muslim presence in this area. You on the map that you showed, the region that we're talking about, as a matter of fact, didn't even show up. It's interesting to note that it was just all lumped in with Azerbaijan. Artsakh is actually a Christian Armenian area that is within Azerbaijan proper in the southwest corner of the country. And it's as we've discussed, historically Armenian Christian. But the idea is to eradicate it entirely and then to eradicate Armenia entirely. And this is just in line with actually Erdogan's efforts to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. And he's only too happy to see all this happening and to give aid to the Azerbaijanis. He hopes ultimately to be able to take advantage of the destruction of Armenia himself.
The goal is the elimination of Christians in the region. Robert Spencer, where can people go to follow you to get more updates and more information?
Yeah, I'm at jihadwatch.org. We've got two lengthy explanatory articles up right today on Armenia and what's actually going on there. You're not going to find this information in the mainstream press, and I commend you, Jack, for being willing to talk about it. You're one of the few.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. And folks, it just goes to show you that you must always pay attention to what's going on in the world, but also what they aren't telling you about what's going on. Understand that when you are being led to be focused on one particular part of the world, you have to understand the geopolitical, the financial, and the special interests that are all driving at. 120,000 Christians being kicked out of their homes. The Biden administration, the media could care less. It's all going on right now.
You know, you talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, are you tired of these progressive corporations, exhausted with trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're just trying to go shopping? Progressive corporate America continues to push woke messaging that alienates conservative Americans and erodes the American dream. You see it everywhere. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views, and corporations like Disney promoting gender ideology when all you want to do is take your kid to a movie. Thankfully, we don't have to spend our hard-earned dollars to fund these companies anymore. With today's episode sponsor, Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at PublicSquare.com. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your values for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy groceries, find new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, shop for clean skincare, or simply just find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, PublicSquare.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform, so you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsquare.com. Download the app now. That's publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. I want to bring in here now our next guest. We've got Alex Brusewitz, the CEO of X Strategies, because, Alex, this is something that I've been tracking for a while now, and I initially, I was all, you know, earlier this year, if you had asked me, gun to my head, I would have said, Joe Biden is their guy. They're going to keep him up on the ballot, on the ticket for as long as they possibly can. They're going to prop him up with like a stick as if he's, you know, Weekend at Bernie's or something. But now all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom is everywhere. And it almost seems like Gavin Newsom and Hillary Clinton have embarked on some sort of shadow primary against Joe Biden. You could see them sort of sniping at each other in these competing interviews. She does an interview with Jen Psaki, who Jen Psaki, of course, was a former Clinton staffer before she was ever a Biden staffer. And then Ron DeSantis comes out of nowhere saying he's actually agreeing to the debate with Newsom, which originally had been put on ice. Alex, break it down for us. What's going on here?
Well, the latest ABC Washington Post poll showed that 60% of Democrat voters wanted to go in a different direction than Joe Biden. And you see talking heads on TV from the Young Turks to, you know, people at ABC or CNN saying that Joe Biden doesn't have what it takes to defeat Donald Trump in 2024. And they can't pull out the different tricks that they did in 2020. And I think you tweeted something so perfect the other day. You said Trump is now polling ahead of the margin of fraud, which is so true. He's up by 10%. ABC Washington Post poll. He's up by 6% latest Harvard Harris poll. Every poll is now showing Donald Trump ahead of Joe Biden. And so the Democrats see the writing on the wall. They know that they can't do what they did in 2020. They won't be able to get away with it because the American people are awake. And so they're trying to figure out how they can get Joe Biden the hell out of there. But I'll tell you what, I don't think Joe Biden will agree to step aside. I think Joe Biden is very stubborn. I think he's also an old decrepit man who worked his entire life off, you know, life to occupy the Oval Office. And I don't think he's going to give that up willingly. And so we'll see what happens. But Gavin Newsom certainly is getting a lot more attention. I do think the Republican primary is effectively over and the Democrat primary is just beginning. And so, you know, RFK Jr. is obviously taking a lot of, you know, energy and life, you know, into his campaign. And he's polling more, you know, he's polling better against Biden than DeSantis is against Trump. And so we'll see what happens here. I don't think DeSantis will be in the Republican primary by the time that the Newsom-DeSantis debate comes out. I think it's going to be, you know, DeSantis and Newsom are pivoting towards 2028.
Well, so when you're talking about this situation then, so this is my theory, my contention is that what we're seeing now is a shadow primary between Newsom and Hillary that's going on back and forth. And yet DeSantis comes in, even though they have to see the writing on the walls. I mean, they've just they're losing donors left and right. Ken Griffin just said that he's not interested in writing checks anymore. They're sort of running around telling people that, oh, we have a ground game, even don't worry about the polls are fake, the polls aren't real, none of them, even poll after poll after poll shows the same thing, but they're telling us to not believe all of that, and then agrees to do a debate with a guy like Gavin Newsom, who is now, and I think do we have the graphic that they put together of this? So there you see DeSantis and Newsom. Yeah. Now, is this, wait, guys, is that the real graphic, or has something been changed? I can't tell, you know, these days, it's so hard to tell. But we have this debate that's coming up with neocon Sean Hannity on his show. Alex, is this debate going to help Gavin Newsom?
Well, look, I think that Ron DeSantis is a weak debater. I think that we've seen time and time time again, got smoked by Andrew Gillum. He got smoked by Charlie Crist. He was a total stiff at the first GOP debate. We're going to see him in action tomorrow night in California, which it's hilarious that the ad prices for the first debate were like $1 million, and now the ad prices for this debate are like $50,000. So, like, nobody's tuning in, and Fox is expecting nobody to tune in. And so I find that funny. But DeSantis is a weak debater. He's got no swag. He's got no Riz. People call him No Riz Rod on the internet. I don't call him that. I think that's disrespectful, but others call him that. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to do so well. Gavin Newsom obviously runs a state into the ground, but Florida also is not as perfect as a lot of people like to make it seem. I live here. We have the highest inflation in the country. Home prices have totally skyrocketed, pricing people out of the market. You know, the insurance crisis. There's a lot of issues that the conservative media doesn't report on in Florida. And so I think Newsom will be able to expose some of that. DeSantis will obviously be able to expose some of what Newsom has done, including the high crime. But there's also a lot of crime happening in Florida, and the DeSantis team lies about the numbers here. So I think it's just two morons. I think it's Dumb and Dumber really debating, trying to stay relevant and keep some life and oxygen going into 2028. But, you know, it's really not going to be something that is going to be – I don't think it's going to be viewed very well. And also, I think Newsom actually is showing a little bit more backbone going into this, because he's debating DeSantis and your favorite person, Sean Hannity. It's going to be a two-on-one thing, and we'll see what happens.
I mean, I got to say, though, when Newsom had his sort of semi-debate with Hannity the last time, I think he smoked Hannity. I think he just absolutely smoked him when he was on. I think there are a lot of times where Adam Carolla, right, definitely blasted Newsom, but that was what, it was 15 years ago, essentially a generation ago in politics. And so Newsom came out on Hannity the last time he was there. And I think people need to look, do we agree on policy? No, of course, 100%. But when it comes to his debate skills, the guy knows what he's doing. And I think he smoked Hannity. And I just think that you put him in a situation with someone who, again, when we saw DeSantis in the first debate, he did not do what he needed to do. It was a lot of scripted talking points. It was very stiff. And he was looking around at, you know, asking, you know, looking at Vivek to see if he had permission to raise his hand, these type of things. So, you know, the real question is, why would you go up against somebody who, you know, is extremely good at debating when you're already struggling in your own primary? It just makes no sense to me. But to your point, you brought up something I do actually want to respond to, because you said, you know, this is sort of a preview of 2028. And I know that earlier on, there was a lot of talk that Ron DeSantis was sort of the heir apparent to the MAGA movement, that he was going to get the baton after Trump in 2024. Do you think that's still the case?
I don't think that's the case at all. I think that he burned too many bridges in this race. I think he has really shown his true colors by siding with a lot of the forces that are moving against President Trump, with the political persecution, with a lot of the donor class who are kind of cheering on some of the terrible things that are happening to Trump. You know, he sided with the establishment of MAGA, and MAGA is the heartbeat of the Republican Party. And they're not going to forget what Ron has done during this primary cycle. But, you know, 2028 is a long time away. We'll see who else jumps in that race. Whoever President Trump chooses as his running mate will obviously also be a contender. But, you know, this is just them, I think, having an out.
Alex, you're a pretty well sourced guy in Trump world. What are who's on your short list for VP?
I'd like to see Jack Posobiec on that ticket. I think that'd be a pretty exciting ticket.
Well, we are from two separate states. We are from, and he does need Pennsylvania to win the White House. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And I think there's a lot of talent. I think we have a really great bench, a lot of exciting names and exciting people, and you know. So we'll see what happens. But I think President Trump is obviously going to be the nominee. He's polling incredibly strong against Joe Biden, and the Democrats are panicking about it. And I agree with your assessment that there is a shadow primary happening within the Democratic Party. Hillary's very scared that Trump's going to get back in there, because she's now saying that Russia is going to interfere in the 2024 election. And so the basket of kooks are filling up, and they're saying all these different things now. So we'll see what happens. But you know, I'm very confident in President Trump. The betting markets are now confident in President Trump. He's got a 4% lead on Predict It for the first time in the 2024 cycle. So people are nervous, and they should be, because Trump is coming, and so is retribution.
No, I think that's exactly right. And if Trump wants to buy a gun, he can buy a gun. Alex, where can people go to follow you and get more information?
You can follow me at Alex Brusewitz, or you can go to Ben Dominich's account. He's Meghan McCain's fat husband. He's having mental breakdowns over me lately. He said that no one will remember me when I pass away. So he's been tweeting about me a lot. So go to his account. You can find my username on there as well.
He's your biggest mascot right now. Ben, you know, just a nasty. He was going after Charlie Kirk the other day. I called him out. I said, why the hate, man? Like, he's just going after people that aren't even talking about him, which is wild to me.
Imagine being married to Meghan McCain. So, you know, we have to have some grace and sympathy for the guy. He has to wake up next to that thing every morning. I can't imagine that's a pleasant sight. So we'll keep it him in our thoughts and prayers. We're going to have some hope.
Thoughts and prayers to everyone who had their feelings hurt during Alex Brusewitz's segment. You'll be okay, folks. You'll be okay, because next up we have the great Kash Patel.
I hear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. We have the great normally I would just, you know, I would say, you know, he's an expert on the deep state. He was an assistant to President Trump. But now I can finally say the author of the book, which is out today, ladies and gentlemen, Kash Patel. Congratulations. Happy launch day, man.
Thanks so much for having me, especially on this auspicious day. Human Events and your team has been so wonderful helping me fight this battle for the last 10 months just to get it out. But it's there. Government gangsters, baby. We're out.
Has it really been 10 days? Because I remember, I know that every time we have you on, I'm always like, I was like, Kash, where's the book, man? Where's the book? Where's the book? And you're like, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's like you're, it's like you're, it's like that one friend who's like, hey, man, you owe me some money, man. Where's my money at? And you're like, no, I'll get it to you next time, man. Next time. Next time I see you, man. It's just, oh, my brother just hit me up, you know? But it's like the book, this is actually the book that the deep state didn't want anyone to read. Walk us through a little bit why they put the brakes on this and threw so many obstacles in your path.
Yeah, it's not because I was lazy in writing it. The Biden administration spent 10 months blockading the manuscript. I had to take them to federal court just to get my own words out. And they use terminology like, oh, we have to look for classified information, and you're spilling the nation's secrets, and you're telling too much, so we have to protect the deep state. And when we went to court, we won. And I'm going to hold this book up because I want you to know it's real. And I want you to look at all the redactions. But just look, there's so many. It's like it used to weigh 5 pounds, but they had to use so much ink to redact it. Now it weighs 10. Now, you know how much of the book they redacted? 0.05%. And that tells you everything you need to know. I name the government gangsters. I call them out by name and title, Republican, Democrat. And more importantly, as Donald Trump said, it's the roadmap and blueprint for 2024. We have to get these agencies back on track for the American people. Otherwise, we will have an FBI, DOJ, and DOD that come after us politically. And that is not what our founding fathers intended.
Well, I think that's exactly right, because, I mean, and look, you know, when you're, you know, you were DOJ, I was in the IC, when you're in the system, you kind of develop a sort of, you know, sixth sense for knowing when to, okay, I'm on this phone, so I got to talk this way. I'm on that phone, I got to talk that way. I'm on JWIX, I'm on, you know, Jensen, whatever, right? You sort of, right? You know what I mean? Like, you get this sixth sense of knowing I'm allowed to talk about this. You know, I'm in this GIF, I'm out of this GIF, right, is what most folks know. So the idea that you would just, you know, arbitrarily write, you know, pages and pages of classified material, it's ridiculous on its face, and it always was.
It always has been, and it always will be. It's a tactic of the deep state. You want to know their tactic of the deep state that I found out about when I ran the Russiagate investigation for Devin Nunes 5 years ago? Do you know who actually came after me and six other staffers? The FBI and DOJ. Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray surveilled me, and I didn't find that out till 4 months ago. So last week, I filed a federal lawsuit against Christopher Wray and Rod Rosenstein for unlawfully surveilling the guys that were exposing their corruption. That is the quintessential deep state. These are Republican actors. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's a universal entrenchment thing. How am I going to make money? How am I going to get paid when I leave government? And I'm going to do that by never, ever cursing out DC and always standing up for my institution, no matter how corrupt. I mean, this is what they do to us, Jack. And this is why this book, Government Gangsters, was so important to get out, because it really unshells everything they've done. And they are terrified that people are going to be educated with how to disarm the deep state and remove it from its existence in Washington, D.C. And I'm just happy to have the ability to be on your show and talk about it.
Look, our founder said three branches, not four, not five, not six, not 17, right? You know, so when it comes to that surveillance, though, I actually didn't even realize that. How did you find that out? And do you know what form of surveillance? Are you talking electronic? Do you know what was going on?
Yeah, so ironically, of course, the FBI and DOJ doesn't tell you. Google, right, of all people, has a five-year policy that once their 5 years lapses from the subpoena, they reach out to the target and say, hey, we got a subpoena from DOJ and FBI. And I was like, wait, you did what? And then I asked them for a copy of the subpoena, which I've posted publicly on the lawsuit. And it had a huge block of blacked-out names, right? They get to black it out. And I said, wait a second, my name's long, but it's not that long. So there was like 10 other people they surveilled. And as a former national security prosecutor, Jack, you don't just go and surveil grand jury information and just go to Google. You go to Verizon, you go to T-Mobile, you go to AT&T, you go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, you go to every bank you've ever been to and every communication you've ever had, and you collect it all. These are the same people, by the way, Chris Wray, who used the FISA program unlawfully 278,000 times in 1 year to unlawfully surveil Americans in a database that was illegal for them to search. And when he was questioned about it, his minion said it was accidentally unintentional. 278,000 times. This is the deep state. These are the guys that want to surveil you. And this is what we must educate America on. It is not a right-wing conspiracy. They are on Russiagate 27.0 right now, and they are trying to kneecap Donald Trump both publicly and within the deep state of Washington, D.C., and we have to arm the public with the truth. That's why in the back of this book, I actually put their own documents in there. That's probably also why they didn't want it out. DOD docs, Capitol Hill docs, Nancy Pelosi docs, Mayor Bowser, everything we could find is in this book because we want the receipts for the American people.
Well, no, I think that's exactly right, because, you know, you'll get people and Cash, what is it about? And I keep saying this, too, that, you know, and I think I said this when we did talk to CPAC together this last time in D.C., where I said, you know, I wish I could just push a sort of, you know, software update to conservatives to say, look, I get it. You know, we all grew up reading Tom Clancy books and, you know, Jack Carr's the new one and you know, Alex Berenson had a series of these thrillers where the CIA and the FBI are always the good guys, right? And we love those books, and they're great. And you know, Mitch Rapp and Vince Flynn were so great. And I joined the IC, and I loved serving. And then somewhere along the way, you realize that, wait a minute, these agencies actually aren't doing the things that Jack Carr and Tom Clancy and Brad Thor are telling us they were doing. They're actually doing something else. They're working against the interest of the American people. Did you ever have a point like that where you sort of, you know, I don't want to say get red-pilled, but you sort of had that switch where you realized that these agencies were actually doing the opposite in many cases of what everybody thinks they do?
I did, and I talk about it in depth in Government Gangsters. Look, I was in there for 16 years, Republican and Democrat. The National Security Intelligence Defense Law Enforcement Mission is supposed to be apolitical. I didn't really care who was at the top. I just wanted to go after bad guys like you did and take them out. But, you know, when I was a national security prosecutor at DOJ, I was the lead Benghazi prosecutor for Maine Justice. And we were the ones that came across Hillary Clinton's email server in the discovery process. And I said, wait a second, what is this? And then when I tried to inform my superiors about it, they shelved it and marooned it. And you saw what would happen later in history. It would obviously come out. And I said, what are you guys doing? How can you, the DOJ and FBI, permit this behavior, know it happened, and then allow her to run for president and not tell anyone about it? And then that folded together with when I ran Russiagate for Devin Nunes, and I saw my FBI and DOJ go to the FISA court, which I used to manhunt terrorists, and lie to them and withhold exculpatory evidence, and James Comey and others would sign the warrants and say everything in here is true, even though they know it was false, foreign, fake Russian disinformation bought and paid for by foreign intelligence service. But worse off, they knew it. They, the AG, Comey, they, the Deputy Attorney General, and they, the Deputy Director Andy McCabe, and the entire DOJ. And it wasn't a Republican or Democratic thing. It was a get Trump thing. Once that happened, I said, okay, this deep state is enormous, and the catalyst for their exponential growth was Donald Trump, because he did the one thing they all failed. He destroyed the swamp and their economic financial incentives to be in government service, because he didn't need it.
I'll never forget, and I just pulled it up as you were talking here. We're going to break in a second. On August 26, 2016, Peter Strzok texted Lisa Page, just went to a Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support. And smell is in all capital letters. This is how the Washington, D.C., the Uniparty, the elite, the IC, this is how they think of Trump supporters. This is how they think of you. This is how they think of the American people. They think of you as rubes. They think of you as knuckle draggers, your beer swilling, white trash, flyover state, nobodies that don't understand the importance that of our republic. And this is why you must be taken out and Trump must be taken out, because he's representing you. Stay right there, Cash, because I want to hold you over. This is extremely important for people to understand, and particularly for conservatives to understand. These agencies are not acting in the interest of the American people. Whether they ever did, that's a discussion and a debate that we can have. But the real fact of the matter is they put people like Cash Patel under surveillance.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we're here live with Cash Patel. Now, people are coming to say, Jack, they're saying, Poso, oh, what do you have against Chris, you know, Jack Carr? I love Terminal List. I read the whole series. Chris Pratt, he's my boy. He's in there. It's like, yeah, you guys all thought Travis Kelce was your boy until yesterday, right? It's kind of this situation where people get their geopolitics and their understanding of how the world works from airport thrillers, and they think that's what's actually going on. Cash, this is what I feel like we're fighting against, because we get so many of these, and then people will get into office and then actually think that that's what these agencies are doing, and they'll get these briefings, and some will come up, and you know, I'm from the CIA, and it's very important information. I'm like, look, do you have any idea how many times I went and briefed over at Langley, and those guys had no clue what they were talking, no clue whatsoever they were talking about. It was a joke. And then you sit there and you find out what's going on at the highest levels. And so, you know, we were joking during the break. I said, I want to write an actual novel where someone joins the agency and thinks they're going to go fight terrorists, but then they end up having to like plant phony documents and dossiers on Donald Trump. Right. What would happen if I had written that novel like 10 years ago?
You'd have been called the craziest right-wing crazy. And now it's right down the middle of the game, 50-yard line, second base, old-fashioned American pie, because that's what they want. That's what they have turned our government have to do, is get out there and talks about. And the fight is not with everyday people at the CIA and FBI. It's with their leadership. It's with the DOD leadership. It's with the NSA leadership, because they have hijacked those intelligence agencies and defense agencies for their own pecuniary gain for the government. And to
all right, guys, we're having a quick connection issue there with Cash. We're going to try to get him back up. We're almost towards the end of the show here, but I do want to remind everyone that he's exactly right, and that's why you need to go and get a copy of Government Gangsters right now. Because, look, I don't have anything personal against Jack Carr or Tom Clancy or Brad Thor or any of these guys. I think they're all good people, right? I don't think they're bad people. But here's the problem, though, is that when you read these books, when you read those page turners, and they're thrilling, right? They're great. They're awesome. Sean Parnell, by the way, I would say is probably another one you should be reading, because he is someone who actually is a Trump supporter and gets this stuff. That the problem is, though, is they're writing about a country that doesn't exist, and they're writing about a world that doesn't exist, because our national security agencies, if you want to read the truth about that, it's not going to be found in an airport or supermarket thriller. It's going to be read in a book like Government Gangsters. And you need to get the truth, because we don't have time for these games anymore. Do we have Cash back? Cash, you there?
Sorry, I think the Chi-Cons are in our stuff because we're talking about Government Gangsters.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. Cash, why is it so important to put this book out now and for people to get this as we move into the election?
It's the only mission that matters. It's educating America so elections aren't rigged again. It's not a right-wing conspiracy. Russiagate happened. It's not a right-wing conspiracy. Impeachment 1 and 2 were based on total fraudulent information. It's not a right-wing conspiracy. Hunter Biden's laptop is real. It's not a right-wing conspiracy that the 51 intelligence heads signed a letter to rig a presidential election, just like the DOJ and FBI did. And they're going to do it again. They're on Russiagate 27.0. And to expose that, we have to talk about the truth, which is why I wrote Government Gangsters. But you got to provide the solution. And I think that's why Donald Trump called it the blueprint and the roadmap to 2024. I name names, Democrats and Republicans, provide solutions, give the receipts, the shorthand, and the full details. We talk about fun stuff like the Baghdadi raid. And most importantly, we talked about the powerhouse that was Donald Trump's successes on the apolitical national security front. And if you want to see that again, you have to obliterate the deep state. And that's what Government Gangsters is all about. Our mission to obliterate the deep state together. Get it today at governmentgangsters.com and wherever books are sold.
Look, it's as simple as that. Cash Patel, thank you, man. Thank you for your fight, and thank you for putting in 10 months, including a federal lawsuit, just to get your own book across the finish line. Happy book launch day. And remember, folks, so if you're going to get Government Gangsters, and also if you're going to get a copy of this for friends, for family, do Cash a favor. Go buy it today, and I can explain how this works. So Amazon book rankings, as well as all of the bestseller lists, right? You see the bestseller lists that go up. Those are all driven by momentum. And so when they see the momentum, so when your book launch day comes out, it's so important to drive sales on that day. That's why pre-sales are a big deal, because you're starting from zero. So you're always going to have your biggest momentum, your biggest acceleration of growth. It's not necessarily volume. It's actually momentum and acceleration. You're always going to see that on book launch day. So if you want to help Cash out, if you want to get his books number one, if you want to get, that's why I'm literally knife handing you to go and get this book. Poso Knife Hand is out. You will purchase a copy of Government Gangsters right after you get your, and you can read it while resting on your MyPillow, because of course American Express is trying to take out Mike Lindell right now. That's why they just cut his credit by 90%. And I'm going to throw it out again, folks. I really just am. Is that conservatives have a tendency to want to support institutions, right? Conservatives are on the side of civilization. Leftists are on the side of tearing down civilization or remaking civilization into their own image. That's why leftists are revolutionaries, whereas conservatives are the ones who are carrying civilization forward, okay? This is Western civilization. We have built it this way. But unfortunately, these agencies, somewhere along the way, were completely corrupted. I mean, look at the FBI. The FBI started with J. Edgar Hoover. All right, so when people say, oh, the FBI didn't used to be like this, I'm like, when exactly? I'd love to know. When they were hiding information about the 9/11 terrorists, when they were lying about the investigations before the Oklahoma City bombing, when they did Waco, when? Please tell me when the FBI was a good organization. And remember, none of these organizations are found anywhere in the Constitution. The founders didn't want them. And quite frankly, these law enforcement capacities could be instituted at the state level. They could. We don't actually need these agencies to be able to do these types of things. You want to talk about a real thought crime? There you go. And I say this all the time. There's a reason that the UK got rid of most of their intelligence agencies after World War II. You want to hear the truth? You want to know what's really going on in the IC? Put down the supermarket thriller. Put down the airport thriller. Pick up a copy of a book by Cash Patel or one of us that's actually worked in these agencies and has actually seen what the deep state can do up front in the Trump administration. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.